Chapter 1. Once, a guy stood all day shaking bugs from his hair. The doctor told him there were no bugs in his hair. After taking a shower for 8 hours, standing under hot water hour after hour, suffering the pain of the bugs, he got out and dried himself, and he still had bugs in his hair. In fact, he had bugs all over him. A month later, he had bugs in his lungs. Having nothing else to do or think about, he began to work out theoretically the life cycle of the bugs, and with the aid of the Britannica, try to determine specifically which bugs they were. They now filled his house. He read about many different kinds and finally noticed bugs outdoors, so he concluded they were aphids. After that decision came to his mind, it never changed, no matter what other people told him. Like, aphids don't bite people. They said that to him because the endless biting of the bugs kept him in torment. At the 7-Eleven grocery store, part of a chain spread out over most of California, he bought spray cans of Raid and Black Flag and Yard Guard. First, he sprayed the house and then himself. The Yard Guard seemed to work the best. As to the theoretical side, he perceived three stages in the cycle of the bugs. First, they were carried to him to contaminate him by what he called carrier people, which were people who didn't understand their role in distributing the bugs. During that stage, the bugs had no jaws or mandibles. He learned that word during his weeks of scholarly research, an unusually bookish occupation for a guy who worked at the handy brake and tire place relining people's brake drums. The carrier people therefore felt nothing. He used to sit in the far corner of his living room watching different carrier people enter, most of them people he'd known for a while, but some new to him, covered with the aphids in this particular non-biting stage. He'd sort of smile to himself because he knew that the person was being used by the bugs and wasn't hip to it. "What are you grinning about, Jerry?" they'd say. He'd just smile. In the next stage, the bugs grew wings or something, but they really weren't precisely wings. Anyhow, they were appendages of a functional sort permitting them to swarm, which was how they migrated and spread, especially to him. At that point, the air was full of them. It made his living room, his whole house, cloudy. During this stage, he tried not to inhale them. Most of all, he felt sorry for his dog, because he could see the bugs landing on and settling all over him and probably getting into the dog's lungs as they were in his own. Probably, at least so his empathic ability told him, the dog was suffering as much as he was. Should he give the dog away for the dog's own comfort? No, he decided. The dog was now inadvertently infected and would carry the bugs with him everywhere. Sometimes he stood in the shower with the dog, trying to wash the dog clean too. He had no more success with him than he did with himself. It hurt to feel the dog suffer. He never stopped trying to help him. In some respect, this was the worst part, the suffering of the animal, who could not complain. "What the fuck are you doing in there all day in the shower with the goddamn dog?" his buddy Charles Freck asked one time, coming in during this. Jerry said, I gotta get the aphids off of him." He brought Max, the dog, out of the shower and began drying him. Charles Freck watched, mystified, as Jerry rubbed baby oil and talc into the dog's fur. All over the house, cans of insect spray, bottles of talc, and baby oil and skin conditioners were piled and tossed, most of them empty. He used many cans a day now.
I don't see any aphids," Charles said. "What's an aphid?"
It eventually kills you," Jerry said.
"That's what an aphid is. They're in my hair and my skin and my lungs, and the goddamn pain is unbearable. I'm gonna have to go to the hospital." "Well, how come I can't see them?"